Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Plausibly live from New York. It's a show that is headed to the parade.
I can't wait.
I would wait if I were you. We're going to be below.
I don't know about you. I shouldn't even go.
I should still go. But no, you've got to go. But, yeah, it's going to be a little rough.
I think the people in the Midwest are nice.
That's true. Today, Mahomes looking at a three-peat. The one surprising element standing in his way. Meanwhile, Micah Parsons unironically says that the Cowboys need to, quote, cut out the extra stuff while doing a podcast from Radio Row in Las Vegas. Will this work? And finally, a way too early edition of Mahomes Mountain. It's for next year.
Oh, my
God. Yeah, well, it's going to be a great one. It's going to be an all-time. Well, he was just in the Super Bowl.
I know. I can't wait. I think Nick's coming around.
I don't know. I saw an early copy of it. Alongside Chris Broussard, I'm Kevin Wildes. Nick, any surprises on Mahomes Mountain?
Yeah. The people who didn't make it. Some of my favorites that weren't able to make it. It's a busy mountain this time of year. We're full of optimism.
True.
It's an off season, and the guys who were college players are now pros, so they got to get in there. There's a lot going on.
They're pros now?
Well, yeah, they're going to be. It's a way too early 2024. They will be in 2024. Check your calendar.
We start with a three-peat question mark. Chiefs are only the ninth team in the history of the NFL to go back-to-back, and no team has ever three-peated. Nevertheless, Mahomes says it's in his sights. Take a listen.
It's legendary. I mean, just to be able to, no one's ever done it. And we knew it's legendary to win back-to-back. I think eight other teams have done it. We had heard it all week. We had talked to the guys about it, and we felt like we had the best opportunity that we had ever had to go out there and do that. And I'd fell short the year before. And so, I mean, all you could do is come back next year with a fresh mindset, knowing it's going to be even harder.
Okay, so the Chiefs are the ninth team, Nick.
Yep.
Nobody ever made it even back to the Super Bowl, never mind win it. Three teams missed the playoffs entirely. Mm-hmm. What's the number one reason the Chiefs won't three-peat if they don't?
If they were to not do it, the most obvious answer, and I think the right answer, is if Chris Jones leaves. Uh-huh. And I'm not arguing they can't do it without him. I am arguing they wouldn't have three Super Bowls without him.
That's true.
That Chris Jones, you can go through each and every playoff run. And it was weird because up until last year, he had never had a playoff sack, but still had his fingerprints all over these postseason runs. The first Super Bowl against the Niners, Jimmy Garoppolo went in the fourth quarter, had three passes tipped or knocked down. Chris Jones. You know what I mean? When the Chiefs were trying the comeback.
Yeah.
Last year, AFC title game, Burrow has the ball, tie game, minute left, and it looks like he's going to drive the field. Chris Jones gets the sack, and then this playoff run, obviously, the push of Deion Dawkins into Josh Allen when he had someone open right before the Tyler Bass miss, and I thought he wreaked havoc in the game this weekend. So if Chris Jones leaves, that is a big hole to fill.
Huge.
They could also lose Snead, who, as great as McDuffie was in the playoffs and everything, and Snead was the best corner in the league this year, but they have drafted so well at that spot and they're so deep at that spot that I think they could overcome that more easily than Chris. It wouldn't be a death blow either one of them, but that would be the most obvious. What I don't think is going to happen, Brew, is about someone else overtaking them. If they don't win, it's not going to be because, oh, the Chargers under Harbaugh finally, you know what I mean? Now, they could
somebody
be good and could be
better,
but because of the path they had this year, even if the Chargers were to win the division and the Chiefs were to have to be on the road the whole way, would anybody feel comfortable picking against them on the road in round one or two or three? And so I don't think it's going to be that Baltimore is going to be better. They've just lost their offensive, their defensive coordinator, and they had the best possible year you could imagine from their defense. I don't know if Cincinnati is going to have T. Higgins back, and their offensive coordinator is gone, and you have the Burrow injury risk. So it would be about the randomness of a football game, sure, or a Hall of Famer, because Chris Jones, now a Hall of Famer, leaves, and they were unable to replace him.
And I will say this. It'll be interesting to see where Jones goes. If I'm him, look, I'm trying to get paid. He's got his two Super Bowls, like you said.
Three.
He's got three Super Bowls. He's a Hall of Famer. And so now it's like, let me get the most money I can. It's not like for his position, you count the rings like you do for a quarterback. Right. That's why even Tyreek, I'm sure he misses being in these moments, but at the same time, he got this huge payday. So I don't know what he feels as far as should I have left or not. So I think now if I'm Jones, I'd give a little bit of a discount.
So that was going to be my question.
If it's only a little bit, sure, a couple million less, sure. But if it's a big difference, he's probably gone. And Snead, of course, too. I think
Snead's never been paid. Snead has to go get the money. Chris is on the end of a 4-year, $80 million deal. Snead was a mid-round pick on the end of his rookie deal. Snead, like this, I don't think Snead can take any discount.
Right.
Chris, we'll see what he wants to do. But go ahead, sorry.
No, complacency is obviously always a question mark.
You think the Chiefs are going to be complacent?
No, Mahomes will not be complacent. I love what he's saying, like, we were talking about only eight teams have, repeated. And, they're aware. Clearly, he is aware, and I think Kelsey and the leadership is aware of the history. And they're not afraid of it. In fact, Mahomes is chasing the history, which I think is great. But some of the other players possibly could get a little bit complacent. That's always a challenge when you've, won a couple championships. But I'll say this, Nick. Look, as much as the receiver stepped up, and I know Hardman's a free agent.
Yep. And they might
Ricky
not have
James,
MBS
I think,
back
is yeah, MBS year. Ricky James, I think, is a free agent. So they're going to have some new receivers. I want them to go get, if they can, a top flight receiver. Because I still think that could be an issue as well. Obviously, Mahomes is overcome it now, really 2 years pretty much. So it's not something that it's not insurmountable, but I still would like them to go. Rasheed is obviously good. I'm not totally convinced he's a number one. I like more of a deep threat for a number one. So I think that's something they need to look at.
Before you go, Wilds, can I ask you a question on that exact note? Because I do think Rasheed's a number one, but he's not a take the top off the defense type of guy.
Right.
He's more of a yards after catch guy. If Brett Veach had to make the choice this offseason, I can sign T. Higgins and lose Chris Jones.
No.
Or I can bring back Chris Jones and do what, and not bring in, for not just not bring in T. Higgins, but not bring in any high priced receiver. Like, so to me, I would definitively, I apologize.
Several things.
My phone, it was everything. I apologize. I would, without question, bring back Chris Jones.
I agree.
So you're
because they've shown 2 years in a row now.
It's just such a hard position to develop if you're not drafting blue chippers at the top of the draft, those standout D linemen.
And those guys will probably get better.
Yes.
Some of the other receivers.
Two things. One, I think you target a wide receiver in the draft. I mean, obviously Puka is
a
superstar. But I think Mahomes can take a level, let's say, 8 guy and turn him into 10 guy. Yeah. Take a 6 guy, turn him into an 8 guy. Here's the other thing, and it's not the sexiest reason, but it's actually the reason. Andy Reid after the game talking about winning again. Got to have a good offseason, then a good training camp, then the ball shaped kind of funny. It's got to bounce for you in the right direction. It's a lot of luck. It's not a great analysis, but it's a lot of luck. Like, when did the Super Bowl turn?
You're going to say the punt.
The punt. And it wasn't even a bad play. It's just a random play. And all of a sudden, Mahomes gets the ball. Mahomes touchdown. And that almost flipped the switch for him. I know we're going to talk about Brady in a second. There's so many instances of just lady luck falling in your favor. And then sometimes, football gods, it's got to go the other way. And I also agree, the harder you work, the luckier you get. I buy all that. They'll always be in position. But one of these lucky breaks is going to have to bounce the wrong way. It's not going to be the Chiefs' fault.
Yeah, no, luck is necessary. But Mahomes is also that good. He is levels above everybody else. So
can I do a quick history thing here?
Yeah.
The teams who had a chance and why they didn't? Because I think it's instructive.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so the Packers, Vince Lombardi retired. And by the way, they had run a
they
bunch.
They did a three.
They did, but it was just back-to-back Super Bowls.
Right, and then the championship the year before
exactly.
that.
Exactly. But so Miami went to 3 straight, but they lost on the front end. So they had won back-to-back. What happened to them the next year? The famous sea of hands play, 28-26 into the game. So they were, that's kind of what you're talking about. They were good enough, right. And they lost an epic game everyone remembers. Pittsburgh had two shots at it, right? The steel curtain. The first time, they lost to a Raiders team that was neck and neck with them the whole era. Right. There was a 7-year run in NFL history where the Steelers and the Raiders won 6 of the 8 titles. So it's like, hey, we had a team that was basically almost as good as us. It was finally their turn. And in 1980, and this is the one none of us mentioned, you just hold your breath against, 1980, that Steelers team was ravaged by injuries. And so it just wasn't the same. Okay, so go to more modern day. The Niners, 88-89. They had a chance in 90. They fumble with 2 minutes left against the Giants in the conference championship game, lose on a field goal at the end, 15-13. The Cowboys, it was similar to what I was saying about the Steelers-Raiders. The Niners were right there, played them every year in the playoffs. The Niners finally got their turn. And then the Broncos, Elway retired. You don't have to worry about that. And the Patriots in 05 just actually weren't that good. They only won 10 games. They got blown out, so they're kind of the outlier.
Yeah, I think I know we're talking Brady. He turned the ball over, I think, five times.
But that Patriots team was not a great team.
No,
they were 10
that
wins.
Kind of just a Brady.
And so the point that I'm making is, the one that, if you're right now yelling at your screen, at the team as a fan of a team that has not been mentioned, it's Bills fans saying, we are the Raiders of the 70s. We are the Niners of the 90s. We are the team that you keep beating in the playoffs that one day will get our own. Yeah. You know what I mean? I am more of the belief that the Chiefs are closer to the Dolphins of the 70s that could have won 3 straight on the front end or back end, and you just hope the sea of hands play doesn't go against you. Like, so those are the teams that have come closest, and usually, Wilds, they're barring a retirement of a coach or a quarterback, they're right there. It's not like there's a lot of teams. It's like,
always
they fell
in the
off
mix.
Entirely.
That's the best part of it. All right. Well, Tom Brady went back-to-back for Super Bowls 2 and 3, then went 9 years before winning Super Bowl 4. So, Nick, do you think there's – I'll start with you, bro. Do you think there's any chance that the Chiefs fall into a similar Super Bowl drought?
Honestly, I don't. I cannot fathom Patrick Mahomes going 10 years
and winning, but
without
about,
winning a Super Bowl.
Well, Brady did.
I know. But at this stage of their careers, Mahomes is better individually than Brady was at this stage.
No question.
Right? You can talk about Brady later.
Yeah.
But at this stage, Mahomes is much better. And Mahomes is like LeBron. Like LeBron, we are still, he's 39. Mm-hmm. And we are still like talking about, and I think he's still feeling, I got to get more rings because he's chasing. Whether you think he's past Jordan or not, he's chasing Jordan 6. All right, Jordan at 38, 39, nobody was even thinking about, oh, he's got to get more rings because he had passed the guys he was looking at, Magic and Bird. Steph even, is anybody really focused on, like, Steph's got to get a new ring? Yeah,
no,
we might like to see
him. Not even the Warriors.
Right, we might like to see him compete with a team like that, but he's not have that guy in front of him that he's chasing. And so Mahomes is very aware. And he's open about he's chasing Brady. So I think that will keep this team on edge and him on edge. And I just think he's too good also to even – that's unfathomable. It will be one of the biggest shocks in modern sports history if they don't win another Super Bowl in 10 years.
You think Kelsey's going to play for another 10 years?
No, but I've
never seen him without Kelsey.
But we
not saying it's impossible, but
But
the secret to the Patriots dynasty
Kelsey
is that
big.
Roster's
There's
turned.
No doubt.
Okay, but you're right. Kelsey and Mahomes and Reed are the common denominators, and I don't think Reed's going to coach for 10 more years, but he's obviously going to coach for a few more years. But we have seen the Chiefs with totally different types of teams win
That's
Super
right.
Bowls. You know, high-flying, got outscore everyone in 19, a team that was high-flying despite not having the weapons last year, and this year, where a team that scuttled and was defensive-based, and Mahomes was excellent throughout. So I'm going to say there's two reasons I do not think this is likely. One is, I don't want to say dirty secret, but the underrated part of that drought is Tom, in that stretch in the playoffs, had a lot of really bad moments. Tom Brady, in that stretch, had 6 playoff games with more interceptions than touchdowns. Mahomes has had 1 in his career up to this point. And if you go through it, and we can show you Tom's numbers, I think, in that stretch, like, it's not like they're brutal. But it's not. It didn't feel like in that near decade, like, oh, we have such an edge because we have the best quarterback in the world. That was when
he wasn't even viewed as the best.
Exactly right. Until he was viewed as the winner, Wilds. But he had people forget what that all looked like. And now, in Tom's defense, he, I think, had two seasons lost to injury. Because 08, you lost the whole year. Yep. And 09, he was not that same guy. It took him longer to come back from the ACL. Mm-hmm. And then this is what you have to avoid if you're the Chiefs. The 2010 season, the Patriots were 14-2, the dominant team. And they lost to Mark Sanchez and the Jets.
That's like, a bad
huh?
One.
And then the next year, they were even better, and they're in the Super Bowl. And you lose to Eli again.
But that's bad luck.
That's the day that Tyreek came.
No, that's Manningham.
But I'm saying that's the luck. Yeah. The luck.
No, but I agree, but here's where I disagree. When you are that good and you are playing a team you are reasonably a massive favorite over, you should, like, you want to not let luck come into play.
I know.
And so that's the part of the era where it's a little confusing. And then it got real scary for Patriot fans because Peyton Manning goes to Denver and they're instantly awesome and they beat him in the playoffs. I don't see that type of drought because Mahomes is so great already. Brady's best playoff performances all came
later,
right? The latter half of his career.
So there's nine, right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 9. Lost the divisional rival Jets, 2 to the Ravens. Could you see Lamar peeling off too? Just beating Mahomes in the playoffs.
Well, I could
in
see,
9 years, of
I'm
course.
I'm just saying
could.
One. Okay. Like he's going to get
Peyton
one.
Peyton Manning
in the next
got
10
two.
Years.
Two trips to the Super Bowl that were Eli played crazy. One turnovers, one injury. Like that's it. Then all of a sudden you have
except,
it. That's the drought.
But I guess here's where I would push back on that. If you look at those seasons. In 2005, they weren't that good, and they got blown out in the playoffs. In 06, they just blew the AFC title game. That was the 21-3 game to Peyton. Yep. They came all the way back. They got blown out.
You're still playing Peyton Manning.
No, of course. But the point that I'm trying to make is three of these playoff losses, they got blown out. But this is another thing that we haven't seen and we've gotten numb to. Mahomes now, playoffs and regular seasons, through 6 years of his career, has 3 Super Bowl titles and 4 losses by more than one score. So because they are not blowoutable, they are able to have the luck matter. You know, if they were down by 17 when the muffed punt happened in the Super Bowl, it doesn't matter. Right. Because they had held close, that's why it was able to matter.
All right, let's take a look at Mahomes' resume. 3 Super Bowl wins, 6 years, 2-time MVP, 3-time Super Bowl MVP, almost 300 yards passing, best ever, and 15 playoff wins. Brady has similar numbers in a few categories, but other than that, you're going to go cross sports here.
Sure, yeah.
Best start to a career ever.
So Brew, I think I narrowed it down, and I want to know where you fall on it. So we can start with football, and it's clearly Mahomes. And what I did is championships, championship appearances, championship MVPs, league MVPs, and times missed the playoffs. And I think we can show Mahomes against Brady and Montana, the other greats. And Mahomes clears the field.
Congrats.
So Mahomes would move on from there. Wilds, we got a lot going on today. Just follow us on, okay? Because they're all going to look like this. Then I kind of did old legends that you're curious about where they're at. And we're not going to be... There we go. So the only one who's really... Babe Ruth, I was surprised. But then I'm like, oh, wait, they
He's
didn't
pitching.
Even...
pitching.
Yeah, exactly, okay. Right. But that matters, right?
First
so that's the Red
years.
Sox. I did 7. Because I'm including for Brady and Mahomes, to be fair, their rookie seasons. So Gretzky, really, it's like, oh, my God. So then, and Kareem is missing the playoffs, even though he was so great. So that final column is missing the playoffs.
Gretzky won 7 MVPs his first 7
years.
Yeah,
Gretzky was pretty unbelievable.
He's pretty good.
He's the only athlete ever that when you go to his Wikipedia, you have to go to another Wikipedia just for his record.
Really? 7?
And then I went to basketball only, Brew. And you have... The people that are going to stand out are Bird and Russell. And so this is what I came up with for the greatest starts to a career ever, if we can show the last one. And it's not quite Patrick. If we're being honest, as much as I would love it to be, Russell and Gretzky are going to be pretty damn hard to clear ever for anybody. Russell, the only reason he doesn't have championship MVPs is the award didn't exist. He won four league MVPs and won the title every year. Gretzky won a third of the titles and was league MVP every single year. But I think that's the list, Brew. I think if there's a Mount Rushmore of best starts to a career ever, he's clearly number one in football, and those are the guys he's competing with.
No, that's fair. I think it's obviously Gretzky. If you, with that list, I mean, seven MVPs
that's
is
pretty
just,
good.
Right, and the championships. Russell, look, obviously the six championships. In his first
7 years.
7 years. And five in his first six. But Russell, individually, his statistics weren't what Mahomes is. Now, rebounding, he led the league
but he still
times.
Won league MVP four times.
He won, right. So it's that might be something. But, look, generally, you have to go to individual sports. Like, to put somebody with Mahomes, you got to go to, like,
Tiger.
Tyson with boxing, Tiger or Ali with boxing, Tiger in golf. Like, it's clearly football. That's not even close. And ironically, we talk about the GOATs, LeBron and Jordan. They're not close.
They
I mean, because they didn't win championships.
I know, but it just takes – it's just a, sort of a different trajectory.
But it was
– Yeah, I mean, they got going once they got going, of course. But and they were great individually, but the team, they didn't have the championships.
Do you think Wilds is a Brady guy but also a Mahomes guy? That Brady, at the very least, Mahomes has now surpassed Brady's...
Early Brady?
Yes.
Yeah, because I don't think early Brady was still... It's almost like he needs a different name. He was still pick 199 Brady at that point.
Right.
I don't think he hits peak
he was
Brady
as
until
the
perfect season. Until
he got Randy Moss.
Then he sort of just emerged into
legend. After everybody realized how great he was, because he hadn't had great receivers to that point. Then you give him
imagine
one, he's like, oh, my
seven
gosh.
Years when the Chiefs trade for Marvin Harrison Jr. Oh, boy. Oh, man.
Trade up to get it.
Did Brew nail the Purdy-Breeze comparison? Wow,
I mean,
everybody is stealing Brew's takes.
Next
it's
on
really
FS1,
unfair.
The Fox Sports Show.
I need this
XM.
Victory, though. I need this victory.
That was not my vape. That was my headphones.
Okay, quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. Obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So, to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/FTF. netsuite.com/FTF. netsuite.com/FTF.
As we celebrate Black History Month, I'd like to recognize four men who were reintegrated into professional football in 1946. Kenny Washington, a former UCLA running back who shared the same backfield with Jackie Robinson and Woody Strode in one of the most celebrated backfields in college football history. Washington signed a contract with the Los Angeles Rams when African-American players were banned from league play. Just months after he joined the Rams, the team signed Woody Strode. In that same year, a little-known coach named Paul Brown of the struggling Cleveland Browns signed running back Marion Motley and defensive lineman Bill Willis, thereby integrating a startup league called the AFL. These four signings marked a significant moment in Black history that would change the sport forever.
Welcome back to the show. You know, maybe Kyle Shanahan should have opted to play defense first in overtime. Maybe not. We don't quite know. But man, Florio went the whole way, huh? Pumpkin alert. Chiefs coach Andy Reid got a fresh start, albeit after 14 seasons with the Eagles. Shanahan already has 7 years with the 49ers, and he's lost two Super Bowls. It changes, you know? He brought him to lost two Super Bowls. At what point will it be in his best interest and or the team's best interest to have a reboot? Losing his job.
Florio, my pal.
Okay, we'll start with you. Will Shanahan eventually need a restart?
I don't think the Niners should believe anything other than we want Kyle Shanahan as our coach as long as we can possibly have him. For Kyle, here's the thing, and I promise I am not taking a shot at Brock, but he knows how hard it is if you don't have that guy at quarterback. And that's why, and now it ended up being the wrong decision, that's why they traded three first-round picks for Trey Lance. Because he wanted finally to be in a playoff game and say, you know what, fair fight. If not, actually, I've got the better dude, as you would put it, coach, at quarterback. And the Niners, now at this point, kind of a victim of their own success. Unless Brock Purdy takes what I would consider to be a massive leap or two, they're never going to have that guy unless they all then, you know, get super lucky in the draft because they're not going to draft high. You know, and so I don't think the Niners should want to move off Kyle Shanahan, but I do think if Kyle Shanahan's like, man, you know, the next time a Justin Herbert-type job comes open, I would understand if Kyle Shanahan was like, man, that would be fun to be able to coach that type of guy.
Look, I think first Kyle does have to look in the mirror. Like, every coach has their flaws, including Andy Reid, Belichick, all that. And he's got to look at the things he has not done. And maybe I would imagine he's doing this. But look at the clock management and why haven't I done some of these things in these big games. Like, he's really got to sit down. And if it means bringing somebody alongside you that helps you with those things, you got to do that. So that's number one. I think next year is critical for them. Because, and I think to your point, how long he stays, because he might want to go somewhere else. Some of it may depend on Brock Purdy. Does he show next year that he's really that guy? Not just he has another good season like this, but does he show you that, oh, he can carry you? You can't just win with him. He can carry you.
Yeah. What's up? He's just in overtime against what you guys calling the GOAT quarterback. Just in overtime. Brock Purdy took Patrick Mahomes to overtime, this great defense, to overtime. He's not the guy.
Well, no, I think you just want to see more. Like, even CJ Stroud, I want to see it another year.
He's gone to the Super Bowl or NFC Championship, four out of the last 5 years? And he lost in overtime to Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs with his third defensive coordinator in 3 years. And they built continuity in the organization. They took a quarterback that was the last pick in the draft, and he's been incredibly successful. I think Brock Purdy's made a lot of strides over the course of that time. And we say reboot, like Andy Reid, like, suddenly decided, hey, I don't like Philadelphia anymore. He got fired. They fired him after he went, 4-12. And his reboot happened to come with Patrick Mahomes. That's
Not immediately.
That's really what it is.
But there's a lot of other coaches that are rebooting, like Sean Payton's rebooting in Denver, and it's not going as smoothly because he's got Russell Wilson. So as you look at the grass being greener somewhere else, it may not be. He's got a relationship with ownership. He's got a relationship with the GM. They've got continuity. I mean, there's a lot of things that have been really great about what he's done. Yeah.
Wouldn't you say?
I agree with that.
And as great as we see Andy Reid is, he probably doesn't have a Super Bowl without Mahomes.
Well, no, but so
that's Alex Smith or somebody else.
No, but
I know, but I'm saying, like, that's the reboot. Got the best quarterback ever.
So if I can I respond to just both the points you guys made real quick. First of all, Wilds, the Niners took the Chiefs to overtime, right? And so and I'm not attacking Purdy, but the reason I think Brew is saying next year is so critical is after next year you decide if in order to keep Brock Purdy you have to lose so many of those great players that you helped get you there. But the Andy comp is a good one because while early in Andy's career he lost playoff games to Brad Johnson and Jake Delhomme in conference title games, people were like, man, you had McNabb in his prime. After that, Andy's playoff games in Philly, he lost to Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Kurt Warner, Tony Romo in his best year and Aaron Rodgers. And so every time, even though Andy had McNabb and then Mike Vick, he was at the QB disadvantage except for maybe one of those years, Vick versus Romo. Or that one, I mean, McNabb versus Romo, I don't quite remember. And so I do think there's an element of, and this is why I push back on the pumpkin alert stuff, even though I thought Kyle had some game management issues, where you have to overcome so much if every playoff game, and in Kyle's career with the Niners, you can argue he's been at the disadvantage at the quarterback spot from a talent perspective in every playoff game except for the one against Geno in Brock Purdy's first playoff game.
That's like me wearing shorts every day in the winter. Be like, man, I sure am cold. Like, yeah, man, it's your decision to wear shorts during the winter. Yeah,
but you can't
he's
just
picked up the pie chart and decided to spend 1% of it on Brock Purdy and have a bunch
of... They did try to get Trey Lance, and they blew it. You know
okay,
what I mean?
That didn't work. Okay, yeah, so am I supposed to? What am I supposed to cry about that?
No, but Wilds. Let's say they decided. You know what? Let's say this offseason, they decided. You know what? Forget this philosophy. We are going to get rid of all these expensive stars because we want to pick a quarterback off the franchise quarterback tree. Who are they getting? The answer is Kirk Cousins if they're lucky. Like, it's not like you're presenting it as if they've had these options to get great quarterbacks. They did right when he got there, and they didn't scout Mahomes. They decided we're going to get Kirk the next year, and that was a mistake. But after that, it's not like they've had a ton of options where we are choosing not to have a great quarterback because those great quarterbacks don't come available. He tried to get Tom Brady repeatedly.
It didn't work.
Right.
Try harder.
Okay.
So I'm just saying, try harder. I just don't like being like, oh, poor Kyle, if he only had a quarterback. Like, we're choosing to... have a young quarterback.
All right.
Man, I got 880. Let you in on the process. We have a Google Doc to put stories into. But if you really want a story in the show, you text the producers. See if you at home can guess who texted this report from Albert Breer. Some may question Brock Purdy, but Spags and the Chiefs defensive staff don't. They were blown away by how he ripped apart the zone. One of the coaches told me he sees Drew Brees qualities in Purdy. Brew your reaction.
Wilds, that might have been your best read.
Thanks.
Of this football season. That was great.
Well, I'm glad all these people watched the show. And a lot of smart football people are now making the comparison of Brock Purdy to Drew Brees. Myself,
yeah.
A Super Bowl winning coach, whoever that coach is, he's on the Super Bowl staff.
Why wouldn't? I mean, this is a compliment.
I know, you have I'm to anonymous
and hey, right, and Drew Brees
you,
himself.
Reminds me of Drew Brees.
Look at Drew Brees himself.
What did Drew Brees himself say?
We're about to see.
He's shown to be that guy.
Right.
Like, listen to the way the teammates talk about him.
Yeah.
His teammates love him. It's his timing and rhythm and the bass that he plays with. It reminds me a lot of the way that I play
yeah.
the game.
Yep.
To me, when people say, oh, he's a system quarterback, well, guess what? He just went outside the system, made incredible plays that totally transformed the complexion of that game. To me, that says this guy is ready to do whatever it took to win that game.
Right.
Outside the realm of what you would have thought
yes.
he would have done.
I was roundly mocked by all of you
yeah, I'm gonna
for
do it
making
again
this comparison. Yeah. That's Drew Brees saying Drew, it himself. I mean, so, come on, coach. 4-1 yeah, in the playoffs when he plays.
I don't know which coach on the staff said it. Maybe the strength and conditioning coach said it.
But I think it might have been Spags off the record.
Can I just show you what the game plan was for that?
Oh, yeah.
Let's see if we can see what... What are, oh, we just wanted Brock to throw the ball. Mm. So I don't remember going to any game against Drew Brees and going, hey, we just want Drew Brees to throw the ball. That's all we want to do. And then let's take a look at Drew Purdy's stats. Okay, so in the first half, he was 6.7, then 52.9. That doesn't seem very Brees-esque. Typically, Drew got a little bit better as the game went on, as he figured out how things were going to unfold. That's not really Drew Brees-esque. And look, post-Super Bowl, as a winner, you tend to be very generous with your compliments of the other team, and I think that was a very nice thing for them to say.
Can I?
You know I'm right.
Can I? All right. Can I make just a point
here? He was chewing up their
zone. The game plan was
Spags was like, we got to change the zone.
If Drew Brees were on this Niners team, it'd have been the greatest team ever.
Currently or vintage Drew Brees?
Maybe currently. But certainly. Here, listen.
They tried to sign him in the offseason after he didn't get Brady.
I just would like a little respect on Drew Brees' name. I know Saints fans don't like me because I'm the only person that understands their salary cap in the national, from their local media. But this is one of the 15 greatest quarterbacks ever who from 2008 to 2016 averaged 5,000 yards a year. Averaged it. And it's like, oh, he had, no, his number one receiver most years was Marcus Colston, who was, now Jimmy, yeah, he was good. He would be wide receiver 3 on the Niners, is what he would be. And so, again, like, I am not trying to. I have been very nice to Brock Purdy the last couple days because I thought he played fine in the Super Bowl. And I thought, you know, he kind of played into the Chiefs' hands as far as they were trying to take away the run to make him throw because they were more scared of Christian than they were of Brock. And Brock, to his credit, didn't make any brutal mistakes. He had, if you're doing the wows and yikes, he only got one yikes and he got away with it. And he had a couple wows, so I give him credit. But the Drew Brees thing, you're right, Brew. I made fun of you, and I will for years.
A comp is not saying he's going to be Drew Brees.
He's closer in Super Bowls to Drew Brees than Mahomes is to Brady. Is that true or not?
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This year, Patrick Mahomes wasn't an MVP finalist, received a smattering of votes that placed him 7th. Well, next year, he's starting off as the favorite, followed by Josh Allen, Burrow, CJ Stroud, and then the reigning MVP, Lamar, in 5th place there, bro. Curse of Broussard strikes again.
What?
I'm just saying, you had him going to the Super Bowl, all of a sudden he's 5th. The guy literally has
With the MVP.
Who's the best bet to take down Mahomes?
Well, first of all, I think Purdy's going to be a factor. Purdy is going to be a factor next year. But if of that list, I'm going to say Joe Burrow. Because I think he's going to come back like us. I'm assuming he's going to be healthy because that's a problem for him. But he's going to be so hyped to win it, and he's going to have the narrative, you know, almost like a comeback player of the year. I mean, he'll be up for that too. But I think Burrow will be the guy out of those.
Yeah, I agree with you, Chris. I think it's Burrow as well. And as we went through the list with Brady of quarterbacks that were around during his, you know, initial run and how good they were and how challenging they were versus – Mahomes and his run, I think that Burrow's got the chance to emerge as that competitor for Patrick. And let's just look at him head to head. So he's 3-1 against Patrick when they played each other. He's got a better completion percentage against Patrick, more pass yards, better touchdown
interception
radio, and better passer rating. So yeah, I mean,
he has the check marks on there.
So if you look through them head to head. This could emerge as hope. Well,
is hopefully, that how you win league MVP?
Hopefully it'll merge.
I'll play Patrick. Hopefully it'll merge. Game.
Well, I mean, it's just one of those guys that can beat Patrick in the playoffs where everybody else seems to struggle with it. Yeah. So it's been him and Brady.
Yeah.
So I would say that he has the best chance to.
I don't know why. See, here's the thing. Coach loves Patrick Mahomes, but he just likes to needle me so much.
That's the question.
So many of the
question was so who has the best.
No, but so I maybe does. Took it further than you guys because I was not only looking
shocking
at the top.
Shocking, you took something further.
No,
than
I'm saying I wasn't looking at just the guys in the top five. I expanded it because while you pointed this out early. But what did we see from the MVP historically, but also all five finalists this year? What did they have in common?
Well, they were the one or two seeds.
Exactly right.
Of how it finished.
Okay, go ahead if you want
to. So Lamar went from 1st to 5th all of a sudden in the favorites next year. Dak is all of a sudden not even in the mix, and he finished 2nd. Mm-hmm. They've got two 49ers that are just in the Super Bowl. Then Josh Allen was actually the 2 seed after a bumpy road. Then Tyreek and then Mahomes way down. So theoretically, historically, if you want to be in the mix, you have to be a 1 or 2 seed.
That's why, and so if we're saying take down Mahomes, I think the Chiefs record-wise bounce back next year. They take one of those 1 or 2 seeds. So I'm going to go to the NFC, and I'm going to go with 2 quarterbacks that were right outside of this list that I think teams could be very good next year. And if you're the quarterback for an excellent team, you have a great chance, and that is Jordan Love and Matt Stafford. I think Stafford Matt Stafford, if he's healthy all year with Cooper Kupp, if he can be healthy for start to finish with the emergence of Puka Nacua, great, you know, excellent young running back. They've drafted well, and I think McVay is brilliant. I think Stafford, fully healthy, could have a monster season. I think people, there is sometimes, I don't want to say sentimentality, but a little, hey, Matt Stafford's never even come close to an MVP if he has a monster year. And I just, for Jordan, that is massive projection, I understand. But I don't think there is a great defense in that division. I think the fact, the way they ended the season, where he had like 23 touchdowns, two picks over the final couple months. I know the second half of the playoff game wasn't great. I could see him having a monster year. But if I'm looking for a non-Mahomes bet, I wouldn't want someone in Allen or Burrow that's got to go through Mahomes during the regular season, as you were pointing out those things.
Dak, got a chance? Anybody? Dak, anybody?
Dak oddly will face a little bit what Lamar is because of the playoff game.
Yeah, people are going to look at that a little bit.
He'll have to be.
You
phenomenal.
Can usually get your first MVP though, despite that.
He'll have to be outstanding. Yeah.
Coming up in 10 short minutes, an early edition of Mahomes.
It's our best one of the year.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Well, it's the first one of the year.
The best.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
It's an early edition.
Yeah, way too early.
Way too early, excuse me. Time now for Afternoon Headlines, sponsored by Ram Trucks. They are built to serve. All year, Micah Parsons talked about going to the Super Bowl, and gosh darn it, he did it. Hosted a podcast from Las Vegas where he laid out a plan for how the Cowboys can improve on a season that saw them embarrassed in the wildcard round. Take a listen.
We need to paint a better picture of who we want to be, fix our mistakes. People need to have way more accountability. I just think we let things slide too often because we know we're good. And
absolutely.
So that's all about me, bro. I want to change the culture. I want to change the identity of what the Cowboys are. Cut the charades out. Cut the extra stuff out. I just want people to lock in for 22 or whatever.
22 weeks, bro.
Okay, Brew.
That's great.
Your reaction.
Does that mean he's dropping the podcast?
I don't believe
Wouldn't
so.
That be extra stuff?
Well, maybe.
Look, I like what he said, but here's the problem. Micah can't change the culture because Micah doesn't set the culture. Jerry Jones created this culture, and I think that culture's been there since Jimmy Johnson left, and including when Barry Switzer was there. And they got a little more lax, and Jerry took more, obviously, ownership and leadership, and it's been that culture ever since. And so the culture to me is we are a soap opera in a football setting, and our main thing is entertainment. Unspoken, but that's our main thing. They need to switch from that to being a football franchise where football is first. Football is the only thing. But only Jerry Jones can do that. Micah can't do it.
Well, Bill Parcells coached there, and I can promise you that that wasn't the coach culture when Bill was there. So there was that time period. And look, I don't get this. I don't know if Micah says something and then the public reacts to it and then he's like, oh, I'm going to say exactly the opposite thing. Because just a few weeks ago, he said he was fine with his playoff appearance. He was content with his all that stuff. He was good. You know, it was everybody else's fault. His one tackle in the playoff game or in the game they lost was outstanding. So you want to be accountable for yourself. Let's just start there. Let's just start there and you take care of what you're supposed to take care of. You're a leader by virtue of your ability. So act like a leader. Be a consistent person out in front and set an example. And don't talk about it and don't talk about all the things you want to change. To do something about it. It's just over and over and over again he gets on and talks about what needs to get done. Yeah, it's so old.
Okay. Can I defend Micah Parsons
no.
for a minute? Listen, hold on. And I think
I think you
might agree with me. Maybe. I believe his heart is in the right place. I believe he truly wants not just the personal accolades and these things. I think he wants to be great. I think he wants the team to be great. And I think he is, like a lot of very young people, kind of figuring out the exact path towards that. And the problem, and now I'm going to sound like an old man, and I don't mean
Say
to.
Say it, old man.
The problem is he is figuring it out in real time behind a microphone, and we're all on the journey with him. And so this is to your point, Brew, about the guys who typically have these, are, you know, older veterans or, you know, they've been through it more. Or to your point that he needs maybe a better producer or co-host or somebody, those things. Instead, it is stream of consciousness. I don't think any of it is. I haven't heard him ever like throw his teammates under the bus. What do you mean?
Who's he throwing under the bus?
On accident, there? Sometimes he does it. Like, man, our game plan wasn't where it was supposed
to be. Well, that's not his teammate. Okay. I think maybe it might be his coaches.
He's throwing Dan Quinn under the bus.
Yeah, that's
he's
not
throwing,
his teammate.
He's throwing Mike McCarthy
okay,
under the
yeah.
bus.
No,
he's throwing Jerry Jones under the bus.
He's not throwing under the bus, but there was he had some guests on. He had Stephen A. on. And Stephen A. was like, oh, I get to do my Dak stuff?
Oh.
And he was cooking, and then – And Micah Parsons, like, I've seen Dak in big moments. And then Stephen A. cooked him again.
Well, again, this is, and this would, is just similarly, and I respect Stephen A., but if then afterwards Micah was like, all right, now pass rushing drills,
well, that's
you
what I'm
versus
saying.
Me.
Well, of
this
course.
Is really unfair, like, to, of course Stephen A. is going to be better at that.
But Micah's entering into
I
that.
I know, I get it, but my point is, and he is putting himself up for criticism, so I get it, it's fair game. But I don't look at this as... I look at Micah Parsons as wants to be part of the solution, understands maybe because of some of the criticism that there is an accountability issue or a culture issue, but hasn't solved how to fix it. And he's trying to figure it out in real time.
Yeah.
And it's
for Bleacher Report.
Well, yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like Bleacher Report is the one winning this.
Right.
Yeah. Bleacher Report wins. You could. I mean, he could be like, you know what? I'm not doing the podcast. Would that hurt the team?
No, that would help. As great as the podcast is for us, he really should stop.
So
I don't want to get in his pockets, but
Can I ask you real quick? I know we have less than a minute here. I know we always talk about players don't get in other people, you know, don't count another man's money, those types of things. Does Mike McCarthy have the authority to say, you can't do that? You can't do the podcast? Or is that now like, buddy, I'm off the clock and I'm not doing anything against the rules, like that would cause a real problem?
Yeah, I don't think that – it depends on what the conduct detrimental to the team is. So if you feel like an action that a player is taking is conduct detrimental,
no.
You can then potentially fine the player for those things.
Right.
But it's a gray area, it's a slippery slope, and you don't really want to have to be in a position
right.
to do that. You want your guys to go out and be successful and make money and all those things. You just don't want them to do it at the expense of the rest of the group.
Jerry could do it if he'd stop talking himself.
Well, that's Kelsey had all those drops earlier in the year.
Jerry owns the team.
I know, but if he wants
podcast.
To win, stop talking. And then you can say to
Kelsey's
Micah.
Kelsey's podcast is great.
It's
and he has
cool.
a co-host.
A co-host.
Maybe just
Ray
get
Mysterio
a co-host.
Junior.
Just
great. Are these your guys' regular colors?
Yeah.
Oh, good. This is my regular colors, too. I wear this every day if you don't watch the show.
I mean, this is just tremendous.
Dude, no.
I need to practice
no,
more.
Look, Wilds, you hold the other end.
Oh, that would have been fun.
No, you almost shot yourself in the face.
Well.
Live from New York. It's a show that is celebrating the finale of Never a Doubt Year.
Yeah.
It's first things first. You're in for
it's
a treat.
Sure, yeah.
Was there ever a doubt?
I mean, how could there have been?
How does the throne feel?
Justified.
That is a nice throne.
When you have that defense and that quarterback was a little practice. Drop the first of I Promise mini banners because practice does in fact make perfect. Balloons dropping on your head once again, bro.
I had the courage. I thought that they might come through, and they almost did.
When you're the only team in the league with not one, not two, but three goats, in what world should you be an underdog?
You mentioned it before. All the Chiefs did was go into Las Vegas, put their feet up on the couch, and ate some sandwiches.
I never should have even made this metaphor.
You guys think that the 20-0 was wrong. The bulletin board remains
on. It's like the usual suspects.
Exactly right. There
oh,
we go.
Yeah.
Drop the next
Feels
banner.
Good.
Drop the next banner because the dynasty's official.
Whoa.
And the three-peats on deck.
Patrick Mahomes
sent a message to the show, so the show should send a message to him in the way we can, rather than a tweet. Dusty, drop the greatest banner we've ever dropped.
I mean, yeah.
Exactly right. That's it.
Live from New York, it's the show that is preparing to go to the parade.
Yes. And Kansas City. Be nice to Brooke.
Yeah.
Be nice to
I'm below.
Yeah, okay, Wilds is fine. Yeah. He's back. Be
nice
to Brooke.
Nice last year. I am wondering what the reception is going to be this year.
Today, how much longer will the 49ers Super Bowl window be open? Meanwhile, we discuss the right to party and how you need to fight for it as we prepare for Travis Kelce and the Chiefs parade. But right now, as you saw on Sunday, the mountain, treacherous for other quarterbacks. Inevitable for its namesake, where Super Bowl confetti serves as the ultimate snowball. Alas, we start anew on a brand new trek in a segment we're calling a way too early 2024 season edition of Mahomes Mountain. This is brand new.
It's brand new. Kevin Wilds, thank you for the great introduction. And you know what? This season, Coach Mangini is going to have the reaction to the Mahomes Mountain and the tears like he has the bub list. I just can feel it. He is going to love it. He is going to endorse it. First, though, so as you know, it's a maximum of 28 people on the mountain because it's 7-level mountain. So that means these guys not on it. Yeah. Drake May, you're going to be a top three pick. You couldn't quite make it. Will Levis, I actually like some things I saw from you. You're not going to make it. Everyone else knows they're not going to make it.
Why is Daniel Jones not on the mountain?
Because he was barely on the mountain before he got hurt, and we got to see him. I don't know. Okay, that's my okay. Make your that's fine. The Daniel Jones mountain. You and Greg Jennings can scale it together. None of those guys are on the mountain. Some of them won't be starters. Row 7, not bad, by the way. Most of these guys, you have some level of optimism that they can bounce back or get back to their previous selves. Of all the guys, and Jaden Daniels, if you're the Patriots, I think he's the guy you hope falls to 3. Obviously, he's a rookie, so you can't put him too high up. Anthony Richardson is the guys on this level that I personally have the most optimism in. I thought he looked really good before he got hurt. Row 6, what a jam-packed row. 2 number one picks. The last 2 quarterbacks to lose in the Super Bowl. A 4-time MVP. Tua Tagovailoa is the MVP favorite at one point this season. That's how stacked the offseason edition of the Mountain is. Those are the names on level 6. Now, to level 5. Jordan Love might be too low. I'm not sure. And listen, I understand. I get it. People are going to say.
Bias.
People are going to say Trevor is too hot.
Yeah.
But Trevor Lawrence has been called by many people Peyton Manning 2.0, and everyone knows that Peyton around this time of his career had the playoffs year with Jim Mora, where it didn't work out and it turned out just fine for him. Caleb is maybe a touch too low, and shout out to 2 of our last pure just drop back passers. Not going to beat you with our legs, Kirk Cousins and Jared Goff. Kirk was playing great this year until he got hurt. Jared Goff played well throughout. 4th row, wow talent. All with their own question marks. For Stafford, it's about age and injury at this point. That is the question mark with him. For Lamar and Dak, it is, can you replicate what you've done in the regular seasons, in the postseason? And for Herbert, it is, when will the eye test line up with the standings? When will, because we all understand how talented he is and the wow stuff he can do, but the wins have not come along with it. All right, 3rd row, these guys are all unquestioned studs. And if you are a coach of any of these teams, you are saying, you know what? Maybe if our guy plays his A game, he can go toe-to-toe with Patrick Mahomes and win. Burrow did it once. CJ hasn't had the opportunity. Josh Allen has come as close as you can without actually winning the game, but has played well in most of those playoff appearances. Row 2, totally vacant because nobody deserves to be within one row of the best quarterback we've ever seen, the most talented quarterback we've ever seen, the greatest start to an NFL career we've ever seen, Patrick bleeping Mahomes the second. That is the way too early edition, Coach, of Mahomes Mountain. Prove me right.
You're way too early in anticipating me agreeing with you that much. I have a lot of questions, but the first question is Lamar Jackson. And there's this narrative that I don't love Lamar Jackson and that I don't appreciate what he can do, and it's not true. I think that Lamar is special and has a unique set of talents, and when he plays those talents, he's as dominant a quarterback as anybody there is. And he should at least be in that second row. The issue with Lamar is when they go into the playoff games and suddenly they're gonna move away from what he does so well and take the pressure off the defense. And that's why you get the results that you get. But to me, when Lamar is doing the things that Lamar does well, he's as good as anybody and could easily be where Patrick is.
Okay, well, that's a bridge too far, but it is nice to hear, because Coach is unfairly maligned as being anti-Lamar, when I think you were more anti the change of offense and the plan and skeptical.
I think it's trying to stuff something down somebody's throat that they don't do as well because you think it has to be, you know, it has to be a key component. It's not the right approach.
So Lamar obviously is more accomplished player than anyone on the mountain other than Mahomes from a regular season standpoint. Mm-hmm. From a postseason standpoint, I have CJ ahead of him, and Lamar would say, oh, I beat him in the playoffs. And so I would understand that, like, those would be fair.
CJ, way too.
Those would be fair criticisms. Listen, I am a big believer in CJ. If CJ wasn't in the AFC, I think he would have been a good MVP pick. I don't know if the Texans record's going to be good enough. I think that we saw Lamar with as good of a team as he's ever had with home field against the weakest Chiefs team, and we saw what that looked like in the postseason. So I would just have more optimism for Allen, CJ, or Burrow if they were to try to topple Mahomes.
Well, look, I'm stunned.
What?
Because the last few days, or maybe just yesterday, I thought you were starting to come around on Brock Purdy.
I know.
I was kind of.
Maybe last week, too, Friday, maybe.
Yeah, you started
like
to say something.
You started to say some nice things about Brock Purdy. So I'm stunned he's so low. I will give you this, what it would be.
His row?
Row four.
Which one?
Not his row. What's the row above?
Row five.
Okay, row 5 to 7 is jammed, or 5 and 6 are some some good names in there. So
yes.
I will give you that.
Baker,
however,
who I love.
Baker's my guy now.
Yeah.
However.
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
I got to move Purdy up, all right?
Obviously.
I'm moving Purdy up to the Stafford, Lamar, Dak row, Herbert row, because here's why. He's checked every box.
Thank you.
What else does he need to do? He's got the great individual numbers, which separates him from a Jimmy Garoppolo, who just won with Shanahan, but didn't, you know, have great individual numbers. He's proven no stage is too big. He faced Tom Brady in his first start, had 2 touchdowns and a victory. His first playoff game, 330 yards, 3 touchdowns. His first Super Bowl, he's facing Patrick Mahomes and the best defense in the league. And he plays better than Lamar, and Tua did against them. Very played well enough for them to win. And so I don't know what other box. Let's look at this, what he did in the Super Bowl.
Okay.
This graphic will stun some people.
Oh,
I got two of them, actually. So first of all, most fourth quarter or overtime go-ahead drives in a Super Bowl.
Are you using my texts against me?
Yes, right. He had 3. This is in one game.
Yeah.
In his first Super Bowl, he broke that record, if it's a quote-unquote record, all right? But check this out. Okay. Look at the next record. This is the most in Super Bowl history. So Brady's got 9 of them, but he's been to 10 Super Bowls. Mahomes has 4 of them, but he's been to 4 Super Bowls. Brock Purdy, Eli's got 3, but he's been to 2? And Brock, 3 in 1 Super Bowl. Like, the dude, I don't know what else you want to hear from
us. What's up, Wilds?
There's some graphics I'm like, oh, that's interesting. You often hear me say, oh, that's interesting. You didn't hear that.
Oh, you didn't.
That's a
like
great graphic.
3
go-ahead drives. That means had
he left
the defense
field with,
held,
he would have won the Super Bowl. Brew, for the record.
Then do it for
me. I agree with that, because there were 3 times that if the defense had stopped them, they would have been Super Bowl champions.
Okay.
My problem with your initial point is there is not a single person, and I know people will be mad at me, there's not a single person above Purdy on the mountain that I...
Don't say it.
That I think... Oh. I think the Niners would be better with every single person above him on the mountain instead of him.
Stafford's going to be 36.
Yeah.
Stafford had tremendous weapons, too. Great offensive mind in Sean McVay.
Yeah.
Hookah.
Yeah.
Cooper Kupp.
Yeah.
And Kyren Williams, who was he? His numbers aren't better.
I understand.
Purdy's numbers were better this year. They both had.
Jalen Hurts, bounce back season. Hello. Checks every box for a bounce back. Here are the boxes. Health, level 10. I never believed he was fully 100% healthy this year. Leadership. Anybody want to give him less than a 10? Come on.
I don't know.
Oh, give me a break. What do you write for the Philadelphia Inquirer?
I don't like his stoic nature.
I don't know. You like fortune cookies?
Come on. Go ahead. He's awesome. Weapons, 9 out of 10.
Sure.
I'll give 49ers 10. Offensive coordinator, Kellen Moore. Do we still love him? Do we still love him? 8 out of 10, 9?
I don't know, buddy.
8 out of 10.
I don't know. He left the Cowboys and Dak got better and went to the Chargers and they got worse.
Well, that's an indictment on Justin Herbert. Next, chip on his shoulder effect, 10?
10.
10.
11.
11. I still think Jalen Hurts is that guy. Okay. Also, experience. I like a little, like, it's just a Super Bowl hangover. We've seen it 100 times. It's just a late Super Bowl hangover.
So you want me to elevate Jalen?
Yes, he's great. We know he's great.
Listen, I'm just not comfortable elevating Jalen ahead of Brock Purdy. I'm just not. There's this doesn't.
He was a
bold Super Bowl hangover.
I know.
It's not left.
You got Caleb Williams up there.
Caleb Williams. Kyle Shanahan would cut off his left arm.
You got to listen to Merrill Hodge, my friend.
Okay, listen to Merrill Hodge.
Welcome back to an electric show. You know, Bosa ended the game with a handful of pressures, and this is my favorite play where he's running in the wrong direction for a good 10 seconds. Coach, you like this one?
I mean, he's still
good
going.
Awareness.
It was the first design run for Mahomes in 4 years.
Just watch Bosa. His ball's still going.
I think he tackled the guy.
I'm just saying. Steve Wilkes got on him about their effort for putting on plays.
Nobody believes Patrick is running. Great call.
Yeah, nevertheless, he's a little philosophical. He's an all-time great player.
It was hilarious.
I'm sorry. It was just a good trip. Take a listen.
I feel like it was hard for anybody to say much after this one. We've been so close so many times that there's only so many more opportunities that we have. We have an amazing core of players that are going to be back, and we have to be better.
Okay. 49ers Super Bowl window still wide open. In order to agree with this question, you have to say, yes, I think it's wide open.
Yeah,
I do. Spring day.
I think it's wide open. I think they're in the inferior conference, and they have a talent edge on everyone they play in the conference. So I don't – I'm not saying there should be the overwhelming favorites.
What
you
about
know what
Brock?
I mean?
Don't you think a lot of that, too, is the NFC versus AFC?
That's what I mean, the inferior conference. Yeah, I would not think it's – here's the thing. You can have the inferior quarterback in a playoff game and pick a team off. Right. It's very hard to do it four times in a row. And no matter what you think of Brock, you would potentially be in a – like if Brock had the Chiefs' path this year in the AFC, I think he's better than Tua. But then is it a significant disadvantage to Josh, significant disadvantage to Lamar, my opinion, and then I guess Mahomes is in the NFC. And then I think it's still wide open. I think it stays wide open for one more year until they have to pay Brock or make a decision there.
That's what I was going to say. And next year, of course, it is wide open. But Brock, that's going to be the thing. Everybody's coming back. I mean, Chase Young's like their biggest free agent.
And Ayuk seems unhappy, but he's under contract. It's a weird spot.
Yeah, so if Brock, that you said it. I mean, Brock has to play. I think they really need to win it next year. Beyond Brock, if they pay Brock, obviously they could lose some guys. If they decide we want to keep these guys and go with another young quarterback, then there will be a question there. But I think there's another issue, Coach. I think, and we've seen it kind of with Buffalo, and you've alluded to it, burnout. Like, if they keep getting close, like with Jim Harbaugh, remember? 2 NFC championship games, a Super Bowl, or 3 NFC championship games. One of them, they got to the Super Bowl. And in his fourth year, they were 8-8. And so I think if they don't win it next year, they get close again but don't win it, I think there could be a burnout factor where they may need to make some changes.
Yeah, so they're in good shape right now. They're not in great shape. So from a salary cap perspective, they're $500,000 over the salary cap, puts them 21st or under the salary cap, which puts them 21st. But all their core guys are signed. Right. Now there's 6 defensive linemen that are free agents, so they're going to have to replace some of that depth on the defensive line. The good news is that they have an extra 3rd-round pick, an extra 4th-round pick, 2 extra 6th-round picks, so they and a full draft outside of that. Except they don't have their 7. So all that stuff is positive. But to Nick's point, you've got Brandon Ayuk who's starting to say, hey, I might not be back. And typically what happens is when you win,
guys want to start getting paid. Everybody feels like they deserve more money than they have. And there's a bunch of 49ers that are paid a lot of money. Ayuk's not necessarily on the high end of that. So you get into that element as well. And then the last time they went to the Super Bowl, they went 6-10 the year after. So they really suffered from the Super Bowl hangover. How well are they going to deal with that? From a quarterback standpoint, I like the fact that Brock showed us things that he hadn't been able to do, like coming from behind. He should be better. It's wide open, but this offseason is going to be bumpier than I think people believe.
What, Wilds?
Nothing. You go.
No, go.
No.
Buddy.
Well, you don't believe in Brock, but you believe in the 49ers. So we're always kind of trying to play with that. And this year, you're like the wows and the yikes, but he slowly started to win you over. Do you have more boxes that Brock needs to check until
real
believer?
So what I was very impressed by this postseason is in games prior to the Super Bowl where the yikes were off the charts, just some mind-numbingly bad decisions early, he didn't let it wreck him. And I did think that he made some significant, obvious plays down the stretch of both of those games. And 2 weeks to think about playing in the Super Bowl against Patrick Mahomes and all of that, and the fact that his best quarter was his first quarter. And then, as Brew mentioned, well, I didn't think he made a ton of – the play to Juszczyk was really good that you included in the highlights. But he, you know, he's kept a steady hand. I think that he has very significant physical limitations.
But what are those? His arm strength? He can move.
No,
he can move.
Hold on, guys. Guys. Not compared to the great athletes of the position.
But how many great
right,
athletes?
Right. And that's five? What he's trying to. Right. The guys he needs to get through. The guys.
No, but he got through. His mobility is good. I actually think he'll run more in the future.
So I think that would be a terrible idea because he's small and frail.
No, so, but enough. He'll slide. And, he's not going to get stuck. I'm not going to say he's going to be a runner, but I'm saying he has enough mobility to extend.
This is
play.
The blessing of low expectations. We saw him. We saw him make three good scrambles in the Lions game, and now it's like, oh,
in the NFC Championship game.
I saw him get a horse collar tackle in the Super Bowl.
He's not involved with Drew Brees.
Also, our YouTube channel, getting up there. Still a little disappointing. We are not catching Mr. Beast.
Can I shout out one other podcast?
No.
What's right?
Metal's time.
It's great, guys. Check it out.
No, stop.
What do you mean?
Stay focused.
I'm focused.
You're out here like Micah Parsons.
It's
You're
a
the
Fox
Micah Parsons
product.
Of this show.
Okay.
A superstar. But are you totally locked in? Warriors in Utah. Draymond hit a half-court shot. 12-9-8. Warriors won the game.
Not good enough for a medal for him, but his teammate got one. Bronze medal. Chef Curry. 25-6-10 as the Warriors try to steady themselves as they have a nice little winning streak.
Jazz on the verge of that.
Yeah, pumpkin alert. Yeah, pumpkin alert. They're actual pumpkin alert. Silver medal. Brew's going to be mad it wasn't a gold. Wimby, 27-14-10. Win over the Raptors.
Blocks.
10 blocks. You're right. Triple-double with blocks. But the gold, Brew, I think you'll agree with. Gold, maybe. Giannis, 36-18-5. In a win over the defending champs in a game they needed. And so we're going to go ahead and give the gold to Giannis. There's the medal stand from a great night in the association.
Yeah. Chiefs parade tomorrow. We're headed to the airport shortly after this segment. Nick, I'm going to ask you, what or who will be the highlight of the parade? And are you worried, a bonus question, are you worried about the reception for Brew, who picked the 49ers against the Chiefs?
It's so funny, Wild. So, and you've been just outstanding today, by the way. Your second question is the answer to my first.
Oh.
The MVP of the parade is going to be the fans of Kansas City showing Midwestern nice they are, because they're going to be – if Brew had done to the Chiefs, to the Eagles, what he did to the Chiefs, and we were going to Philly, he'd be dodging shrapnel the whole game. Instead, it'll be some nice, a little poking. I wouldn't be surprised if there's a placard of Cowboy Brew or something to poke fun. But aside from that,
why you just put that out there?
Somebody wants to bring one of those. But I think that they're going to be very nice. So the fans will be the MVP.
I think Travis Kelce is going to be the MVP.
Well, he's going to be great.
Well, he has to fight for his right to party.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll be there. At what time exactly are we going to go?
Is there, is,
it was
is,
really
when
early
the
last
cock crows, buddy. We're going to be there
early.
Yeah,
we're going to be there early.
Yeah.
So.
we look forward to seeing everyone in Kansas City. Also, I get to meet the mayor.
Again.
Yes, the mayor of Fair.
Oh,
the mayor
last year, Brew met the governors of Missouri and Kansas and then gave them great takes. Governor Parsons and Kelly in Kansas is great. Held court with them. I don't even know if he knew they were the governors.
Up next.
Might as well they were ignoring
the parade
fans.
Tomorrow.